You know, July is a special month for me. You know, I turned 60 10 days ago. Now, if I recall correctly, Pastor Tandy said that 60 is the new 30 because that makes her 21. But then that means some of you aren't even born yet. And so sometimes you can't realize how old you are. And it's like you wake up and you're 60. But today is also the anniversary of my ordination 11 years ago. And it was at my ordination, actually, Bambi and Kim, why don't you come on up? At my ordination, the benediction song was Everyday People by Sly and the Family Stone. Now, the world today, it's in turmoil. You know, it's like, why are all these white nationalist groups, you know, given, you know, a voice? It's ridiculous. And then we're having, you know, women and LGBTQ+. We don't know what's going on with the courts and where we'll end up. But God has our back. We know that. We know that. And so I want everybody to stand up. Stand up and dance. Get into it. We're going to sing Everyday People. Sometimes I'm right, sometimes you're wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. The butcher, the banker, the drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. Everyday people, yeah. There is a blue one who can't accept the green one, for living with a fat one, for trying to be a skinny one. Different strokes for different folks, and so on and so on. It's dooby dooby dooby. Ooh, sha sha. Short hair for being such a rich one that will not help the poor ones. Different strokes for different folks, and so on and so on. And Scooby Dooby Dooby. Ooh, sha sha. We got to live together. There is a yellow one that won't accept the black one, that won't accept the red one, that won't accept white one. Different strokes for different folks, and so on and so on. And Scooby Dooby Dooby. Ooh, sha sha. Thank you, Bambi and Kim. They're great singers. See how good I am? See how good I sing? I just blend right in. So you see the pants I'm wearing? You know, it's supposed to be like newspaper print. You know how today all the articles and all the different publications and media out there, it's like, people write this and that. It's like, and what is the truth and what is not? So today we're going to be talking about what is true and what is. But I just, you know, when you look at me and you see the pants, you just think, what's true? What's the media? What is true? What is true? So I don't want them to distract you. I brought up my ordination, and I had two friends in Chicago that surprised me by showing up for my ordination 11 years ago. And here they are, B. Salas and Jan Zorn. I worked with them for a long, long time when I was a consultant with Quintiles. Even as they moved around, they kept using me as a consultant. And what was interesting is that I was in Copenhagen, Denmark at a company, sitting in the lobby waiting for my clearance, and B walks in the door. You know, what chance of that happening, you know, in Denmark? But that was amazing. We had a big laugh when that happened. Now, B has experienced tremendous hardship in her life. She had a bad, abusive husband, divorce, financial disaster, a daughter who was raped, and a son who became a quadriplegic in an accident and then killed himself. B had no skills. She had to figure out how to make a living. B's husband hung up a taunting poster before he left. I can't make it on my own. Can you imagine that? It haunted her. She was bitter. She had a lot to overcome, but she needed to get past all of the lies. She fretted about a lot of things. You know, she thought a lot of negative things about her husband, imagining bad things coming to him. She was only able to afford a dilapidated house that went under foreclosure because that's the only thing the banks would give her, a woman, basically holding her back. You know how that has been. It was a lot worse, you know, some years ago, back in the 80s. And she was desperate. Everything was going in the wrong direction for her. And so what did she do? What did she do? That is what we're going to be talking about today. So let us pray. God, as we talk about loving what is and what that's all about, God, I pray that you will touch the heart of each person in here. I want them to hear the message that they need to hear. It may not be what I'm saying or what I intended or what you intended, but it may be a message intended for them. So just bless the word in Jesus' name. Amen. So three times in today's scripture passage, we are told not to fret. Hey, it's working. So especially in Psalm 37:1, fret not. And of course, I can read Hebrew. No, I'm kidding. So it comes from the verb chara, which means to burn, to flame, and to take offense, to be anxious. And that was funny. Andrea asked me, are you sure that's right? I said, it was in a Hebrew dictionary. It better be right. I am not anxious over that, by the way. So did you hear that scientists are fretting about a new COVID variant that makes you sweat mayonnaise? It makes you sweat mayonnaise. But don't worry or get angry. They're confident that they can contain the spread. That is the only Jeff joke that you will hear today. That is it. That's it. This is a true story. This is a woman wrestling with fretting. I'm going to use the first person, so it's not me. It is some woman who wrote this, and I kind of shortened it for today. I sat there in the doctor's office for a routine checkup. I tried distracting myself by flipping through old magazines in the waiting room. However, I quickly realized that no weight loss ad, no article on how to make pot roast, or the latest list of billionaires could keep my heart from sinking and my mind from growing restless. A friend from church and I had a disagreement that turned into an argument. We were eventually raising voices. We got angry. After a while, I thought I was okay with it. But the longer I sat there, I was burning up, fuming. How dare they question my integrity? My mind began to concoct all sorts of short speeches and clever comebacks, even thinking mean things like, they would get sick and not be able to come to church. Or everyone in church would stick up for me and shame her. Ha ha, I won. But then she found herself thinking, if I really messed up, it might show how stupid I am. Could I be stupid? Maybe I do lack integrity. I was on a roll. They called my name in the doctor's office, but I never heard it. Honestly, they called my name 45 minutes before I realized it had slipped by. What happened to me? Days passed, and then I took a time out. It made me start to think about something my spiritual mentor said to me, and they repeated it many times. Remember, the truth always wins out. It is your job to stop worrying and trust God with the outcome. So when I look back at it, we started arguing over the curriculum I had already chosen and purchased for the kids for a summer series. I know what you might be thinking. It is not Pastor Tandy and Becky that I'm talking about. It is not, so don't worry. Don't worry, Pastor Tandy. The argument started about the curriculum. All they wanted to do is add some things to some of the classes because she thought there was a little bit of shortened content. That's it. They never questioned my integrity. All that really happened is that my feelings got hurt. And my mind did the rest. And here I am today, ready to wipe my friend off the face of the planet and put myself in a hole for being incompetent. But it pushed everything else aside, like my doctor's appointment. And now I have to take another day off work. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for God. Fret not yourself. Has that ever happened to you? I'm sure a lot. So when I would go to Chicago and meet with B, the person I introduced already, we always had spiritual conversations. You know, I was there almost yearly. It was fun to sit there on her back porch looking over her beautifully landscaped yard. I mean, it was gorgeous. It was HGTV worthy. That was the same dilapidated house that she had purchased, and she turned it into a castle. She explained to me in those conversations that two things got her back on track from all of those bad years. First, she took her family to church. She wanted her kids to grow up in church, hoping to ground them in faith, you know, something that she also needed too. And as a bonus, the church offered a safe haven and a place for the kids while she was able to get a job and go to college. And her spiritual life started to thrive. The second thing that helped B was this. It was a book, Loving What Is, 4 Questions That Can Change Your Life by Byron Katie. Loving What Is, It is about what is. Do you remember a thing about what is? No, some of you, if you're old enough, the Bill Clinton years, what is, anyway. But is, it's what is true. It is, whatever it is true. Loving what is. So here's the thing. Does everybody have their worksheet? Yes. Everybody has their worksheet? Okay, because that's going to help you because it's sort of hard to put everything on slides, but I've got some things. Okay, the work is what this is called. She has 4 questions and she calls it the work. And so here we go. You write down a thought that you've been having that's troublesome. You know, something, you know, like that Sunday school teacher. You know, all of those thoughts she was having about herself, about her friend. And then what you do is you ask yourself, is it true? Now, sometimes when we're fuming, it's easy to say, oh, yes, it's true. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But then you got the second question. Can you absolutely know that it's true? That sheds a different light on it. You can't sit there, oh, yeah, it's like, okay, wait a minute. You know, I don't know. You know, my friend is an idiot because of that thing she did and called me incompetent, even though that's not really what happened, but that's the thought that's in her head. How do you react when you think that thought? And then finally, okay, there we go. Who would you be without that thought? All of a sudden, just think, the thought is gone. Now remember, if it's not absolutely true, then why are you having the thought? It's like, it's not true. And so then, who would you be without it? Who would you be? It's very profound. And the thing is, then you turn it around. What you do is you turn it around on yourself and go through the questions. And I'm going to show you that in a second here. The work is like prayer. It's like dividing yourself. It's like diving into yourself the way you do having an intimate time with Jesus. As today's psalm tells us in verse 8, be still before God and patiently wait. Contemplate the questions. Drop down into the depths of yourself. Listen and wait for God. The answer will find your question. You may begin to experience revelations about yourself. You'll have some aha moments, and they can transform your life. The first step in the work is to identify the thoughts that are causing your stress and to write them down. Now, sometimes we can just write them down because we know it, but Katie has a worksheet as well, and you guys have that worksheet. It's the bottom half of those handouts. Now, I realize you guys at home, you don't have this, and when the sermon gets on the church website, will have the Going Deeper questions, and those handouts will be part of the Going Deeper questions. So those of you at home, you will get that as well. But the idea is to identify those thoughts that are taking up space in your mind. You need to push them out. It can be any situation in your life. It can be now. It can be about something in the future. Or it can be something in the past. Somebody you like or dislike. It could be a loved one, somebody who saddens you, something you're frightened about, or someone you're ambivalent or confused about. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. There's no wrong answer. So then you do the work, and then the four questions and the turnaround. And so we're going to go through those six questions. I am doing the wrong thing here. There we go. That's where we're supposed to be. Think of a situation. In this situation, who angers you, who confuses you, saddens you, or disappoints you, and why? I'm angry at, or saddened, or frightened. I am angry at Jeff. He hardly ever talks to me. We sit quiet often. Jeff does not spend enough time with me. On the phone, I talk and he listens. I can't talk when he gets home. How do I even know he really loves me? So see what happens when I preach? Actually, these thoughts were back in the late 80s. So this is going to the past. He's still my Mr. Jeff. If what you want to know. Now you know how we talk at home. And now I'm relieved he doesn't talk to me. No. In this situation, how do you want to change? How do you want them to change? I want Jeff to spend more time with me. I want Jeff to tell me he loves me more. In this situation, what advice would you offer them? Jeff should open up a little more. Jeff should schedule more time for us. I want Jeff to take me to Hawaii. Okay, you're listening still. In order to be happy in this situation, what do you need them to think or feel or do? I need Jeff to tell me that he loves me and that he wants to spend more time together. What do you think of them in this situation? Make a list. Jeff is out to lunch. Clueless. What is it about the situation that you don't ever want to experience again? I don't ever want to feel like I am the only one participating or that I am unloved. So my statements, my husband does not love me, or my husband does not make enough time for me. Is it true? Yes! Can you absolutely know that it's true? No. How do you react when you think that thought? I feel depressed. So who would you be without the thought? Relieved. But then you turn it around. I don't love Jeff. Is it true? And it's like, whoa. Because I'm accusing Jeff of not loving me. And then when you think of you're the one that's being accused, it sort of wakens you up. It's like, you know what? Jeff really isn't. Jeff is not. He loves me. He's not saying that. And so all of a sudden, poof, the thought goes away. Poof. What about my husband does not make time enough time for me? Okay, I don't make enough time for my husband. Is it true? Yes! It is. I don't make enough time for him either. And so you can see what happens. There's revelations. You know, you look at it and you think, oh my gosh, this is not what he's doing. Or, you know what? I'm accusing him of what I do too. Does that make sense? I mean, just think about that turnaround. It really, when you flip it back on yourself, it wakes you up. Wow. Did I really do that? Woo. These iPads just fly by. So when I say Philippians 4:6, I want you to say, don't be anxious, okay? Philippians 4:6.
Don't be anxious.
And when I say Philippians 4:8, I want you to say, loving what is, because thinking on right things, so loving what is, so Philippians 4:8, Philippians 4:6, Philippians 4:8, so a thought is harmless unless we believe it. It is not our thoughts, but the attachment to our thoughts that can lead to undue suffering, the fretting, the anxiety, the anger. Attaching to a thought means believing that it's true without inquiring. A belief is a thought that we've been attaching to, and it can even happen for a number of years. You know, there's a story in the Bible that appears in several Gospels about a paralytic man, paralyzed for 30 years, paralyzed because of his parents' sins, his sins, and oh my gosh, I've just got all these sins, and it's just crippling me. Oh, I just the heavy weight. Everybody's telling me how sinful I am and how bad I am, and oh, I must be this really, really sinful person. And then Jesus comes along and says, what would be better to say? To get up and walk again, or your sins are forgiven. And Jesus told him his sins were forgiven. All of a sudden, that thought goes away. And he can get up. 30 years, the thought went away. His sins were forgiven. See, even the Bible has characters that follow this scenario. Loving what is. Loving what is. And so that's an example of something that can go on for a very long time. And so we have a special treat today. We have a new Life Journey show here.
Like sands through the hourglass. Oops. No. Like sands through the hourglass. So are the days of Life Journey lives. Oh, I just love Christmas in July and my Hallmark movies.
Hey, honey. I was thinking, since there's so many good movies on Netflix and stuff, we should just cancel our Xfinity.
What?
Yeah, Netflix and Hulu and all of those have such good shows.
Well, if you don't love me anymore, I'm just going to leave.
I didn't say
that. I'm sorry. What did you say?
I said I'm canceling Xfinity.
No Hallmark Channel? That's the same thing.
So is it true? Is it true? I mean, that's really distorted. But the whole point, though, is that there's nothing that's too silly to write down. Be free with it. Write it down because we can spend our thoughts on silly things. It happens. It happens, especially if you don't like the Hallmark Channel. No. The only time we suffer is when we believe a thought that argues with what is the truth, what really is. Here's another Bible character. Here's Naaman from the Old Testament. He's a commander in the Syrian army, but he has leprosy. And do you know what they do with people who have leprosy? They send you off into the desert. And here he is still the commander. And can you imagine? He's thinking, oh my gosh, I am the commander, but I have leprosy. What are they going to do with me? What are they going to do? People are going to look at me. It means I'm sinful. I'm sick. They're going to send me off. I'm going to lose my job, my status. Meantime, his assistant tells him, go to Elijah, get healed. And so he goes to Elijah. You know, the king's even exchanging letters. Heal him, heal him. Of course, and Naaman's like, you can't heal leprosy. I'm doomed. He knocks on Elisha's door. Elisha tells him, go jump in the Jordan River and wash 7 times. He wouldn't come out of the house. And Elisha's like, he won't even come out of the house. It's because of my leprosy. Why can't he even come out here? This is a farce. I need to see him, so I'm just going to leave. This is terrible. It's like, well, wait a minute. You know, I'm still the commander. They like me. So maybe it is worth a chance. You know what? I'm going to go jump in the Jordan River. And guess what? He was healed. Fret, fret, fret. Now, the thing is, the gospel stories are, you know, you read it and it's a few minutes. And so you have to, like, sort of fill in the details because that story takes over weeks. And so, yes, I'm taking the characters of who they are and the circumstances and trying to give it life about what they could be doing and what could be happening. But Naaman was healed of a tragic disease that had basically a death sentence at that time. It's like everything when this. So when we hold on to something tightly that is not true, you know, I have leprosy, but why do they keep me around? People look at me as a sinful man. He let go of that and was healed. Well, the work is about our thoughts, but it's also about different kinds of business. And I'm talking not talking corporate business. I'm talking business. Mine, yours, and God's. And I really want you to pay attention with this because it really is important. Anything that's out of my control, your control, and everyone else's control, she calls that God's business. Much of our stress comes from mentally living out of our business. When I think, you need to get a job. I want you to be happy. You should be on time. You need to take better care of yourself. I am in your business. When I'm worried about earthquakes, floods, war, or when I die, I am in God's business. If I am mentally in your business and God's business, the effect is separation. I mean, who's in my business? If you are living your life and I am mentally living your life, who is here living mine? We're both over there. Being mentally in your business keeps me from being present in my own. I am separate from myself. I'm wondering why my life doesn't work. I think that I know what's best for anyone else, but it's not my business. Even in the name of love, it is pure arrogance, and the result is tension, anxiety, and fear. Wow. That's really profound when you really think about it. It's because we probably do it more than we think. So whose business are you in when you are thinking that thought you have considered? When you think that someone or something other than yourself needs to change, you are mentally out of your business. So if you're going through a thought, and somehow in that thought it's like, oh, so-and-so has to change, and that's the result, something's wrong. Something is wrong. So this brings me to the story about Mary and Martha. Again, you read the scripture and you can read it in 20 seconds. But we're going to be in character. My sister, when Jesus came over, we're going to have the disciples over, we're going to have a meal, and my sister, she's out there with Jesus. What is she doing out there? She should be in here with me. I don't understand it, and I know she's out there talking, but I need her in here. Why is she out there? What could she be talking about? She should be in here. She should be making the bread. I am just so fed up. I hate my sister. No, I don't. Well, yes, I do. Where? Jesus, tell her to get in the kitchen. Whose business is she in? Jesus says, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I mean, Mary could have been struggling with something and sitting there talking to Jesus about, And it's like, and Martha was, you know, if Martha learned that later, she's, you know, oops. So whose business are you in? Whose business are you in? Nobody was in the kitchen on that one. So Philippians 6. Don't be anxious. Philippians 4. Loving what is. People should be kinder. Children should be well behaved, especially in Walmart. My neighbor should take better care of their lawn. The line at the grocery store should move faster. My husband or wife should agree with me. I should be thinner, more attractive, more successful. People should put their carts back at Walmart parking lot. People should use their turn signals. These thoughts are examples of wanting reality to be different than it is. You get road rage about that turn signal. What's it going to change? You can get all upset, right, Jeff? You can get all upset. And then somebody else is going to do it. Yelling and getting upset is not going to cure the world. So just think about that. All the stress that we feel is caused by arguing with what is. This doesn't mean that you condone or approve it. It just means see it for what it is. No one wants their children to get sick. No one wants to be in a car accident. But when these things happen, we can fret about them. I should have done this, or I should have done that. It takes our peace away. I should have, I could have. Now, I'm not talking about like the time we need healing and we're mourning or getting resolution to certain things. I'm really not talking about that. But in general, Katie suggests that when we argue with reality, we experience tension and frustration. And that moves us into the fret not department of the customer service line at your local Walmart store. You know how that feels? Have you ever stood in that line?
Yes.
I know when I went to the store yesterday, oh my gosh, it wrapped around. I felt sorry for them. So here's another Bible character. I'm walking to the well once again for more water. Man, all men are dogs. Oh, no, mules. All men are mules. Oh, gosh, I've been married 5 times. Now I'm with somebody else. Oh, they're all dogs. Why do I do this to myself? Why? Oh. This is crazy. I just waste my time on all these relationships. I am so tired. I get to the well, and then Jesus comes up. And then he tells me that he has a well that gushes to eternal life. And I think, I want that. And then Jesus tells me my story. And I hear that story. But I want to worship God. I need to fill that hole in me. I need to worship God. Wanting reality to be different. All men are mules. One to the next, to the next, to the next. And then Jesus points out what the problem was. I keep forgetting. I am not very good with these things. You're either believing your thoughts or questioning them. There isn't any other choice. The paralytic man believed them for a long time. The Samaritan woman was Elizabeth Taylor before there was an Elizabeth Taylor. And Naaman doesn't need to make any more excuses. Fret not. You know, imagine the freedom that they all experienced after those incidents. Philippians 4. Love you. True story from Katie. Once, as I walked into the ladies' room at a restaurant near my home, a woman came out of the single stall. We smiled at each other, and as I closed the door, she began to sing and wash her hands. What a lovely voice, I thought. Then as I heard her leave, I noticed that the toilet seat was dripping wet. Ew. How could anybody be so rude? I thought, how could she manage to pee all over the seat? Was she standing on it? As I cleaned the toilet seat, I thought about everything I'd like to say to her. Then I flushed the toilet. The water shot up out of the bowl and flooded the seat. And I just stood there laughing. Now, that only lasted a few minutes, but still, where did your thoughts go? And what were you grabbing onto? What was happening to your piece right there? So let's just say I have a thought that my husband should agree with me. Is that true? Yes. Yeah, Jeff should agree with me. Don't we all agree? Yeah. No. No, no, no. Let's think. My husband or wife should agree with me. The thought argues with reality because no one agrees 100% of the time. Then the stressful feelings. Rather than understand the original cause, that thought, we try to change our stressful feelings by changing someone else. Or we reach for food. Or we reach for alcohol. Or we reach for sex. We try to fill in whatever to get back control. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious. It is easy to be swept away by some overwhelming feeling. So it's helpful to remember that any stressful feeling is like a compassionate alarm clock. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for God. Fret not yourself. Time to do the work. That's Psalm 37:8 with my added ending there. The fretting and anxiety and fear are gifts that say, and these are Katie's words, sweetheart, take a look at what you're thinking right now. You're living a story that just ain't true for you. We're usually aware of the feelings before the thought. That's why Katie says it's like feeling the alarm clock, because before the thought, all of a sudden you're feeling something and, okay, why am I getting upset right now? So how do I react when I think that thought? Your hand is in the flames. Or who would I be without that thought? My hand comes back out of the flames. And then the next time that thought arises, the mind begins to automatically move from the fire. It's a process. It's not going to happen immediately. But the work invites us into this awareness of internal cause and effect. Once we recognize it, all of our anxiety begins to unravel. Philippians 4. Don't be anxious. We're slipping. The first service was doing much better. Philippians 8. Loving what is. Philippians 4. Do not be anxious. Philippians 8. Loving what is. Repeat this prayer with me. Dear God, whenever I begin to feel anxiety, Fear or anger?
Fear or anger.
Rising up inside me.
Rising up inside me.
Help me to stop.
Help me to stop.
To pray.
To pray.
To trust.
To trust.
And leave the fretting behind.
Leave the fretting behind.
Help me do my work.
Help me do my work.
Is it true?
Is it true?
How do I know it is absolutely true?
How do I react when I think that thought?
Who would I be without the thought?
Help me to live in truth.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Remember our scripture for the day, and I'm sort of going to highlight some things that kind of bring out what we've been talking about. Psalm 37. Take delight in the Lord and God. God will give you the desires of your heart. Now keep company with God and get in on the best. God wants what's best for us. That's taken out of the Message Bible. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in God, and God will act. God will make your vindication, the honesty, the righteousness, what is true, shine like the light, revealed. The truth will be revealed. And justice of your cause, like the noonday, it will become as clear at the brightest time of the day. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for God, and do not fret over those evil devices, those thoughts. Do the work. Do the work. And then, of course, we've got John. And the truth will set you free. So despite all that B endured, B was careful to cultivate God's presence in her life and to let God's wisdom and virtue shape her heart and actions. Remember that sign that her husband made. I can't make it on my own. That was a lie. B changed the sign to read, I can make it on my own. That was her way of loving what is. The thought she could hold on to. Despite all her hardship, B lived a beautiful, happy, and deeply meaningful life. She even took care of her ex-husband at the end of his life during my last visit with her back before COVID in 2019. Thank you, Jesus. That's come a long way. The truth can really set us free. Now, B died suddenly last year during COVID, but of a rare, aggressive leukemia that took her life in just a few months. But picture it. I can imagine B up there in heaven, and she's up there taking her hat off her head. What did I do? Okay, there we go. Taking her hat off her head, and she's going to throw it in the air and defying those words of her husband. Go ahead. You're gonna make it after all. Meow.